So we're going to go to the middle of the third reading this morning. As we said yesterday, Parshas Mishpatim is like a new Parsha. Every two or three verses, sometimes every verse. We're going to learn about the borrower today. And the borrower has some very important lessons for life, as you'll see. First, we're going to start off with some, what you would call technical stuff. Chapter 22, verse 13. V'chi yishal ish me'imri ehu. If a person loans something, he borrows something from his friend, from his companion. Now this thing that he borrows ends up breaking. V'nishbar oimes. So if it's an artifact, an object, it breaks. The machine, it breaks. And if it's an animal, it dies. The Torah says, Ba'olav ein imay. The owners of the object were not with him. Shalom yishalom. He surely pays. Let's take a look in Rashi. V'chi yishal. So we have been talking about various watch people, people who are given responsibility to safeguard items or utilize items. There's the unpaid watch person. There's the paid watch person. And finally, here's a person who is using somebody else's objects, but not because they're being paid to watch it or because they're doing somebody a favor, but in fact, quite the contrary. They themselves are utilizing the object and benefiting from it. The borrower. So Rashi says, this third detail is bo l'lamed al hashoyel. Here we come to learn about the shoyel, the borrower. What do we learn about the borrower? We learn shechayiv ba'oinosin. Or ba'insin, that the shoyel is obligated to pay when a mistake, when an accident happens. That is to say, the person who accepts upon himself to safeguard somebody else's items and does not get paid for it, so that person really can't be responsible if stuff happens. So what do you want from me? I was doing you a favor. The only way that person can be held responsible or culpable for things that went wrong is if the person was negligent. You were negligent, now you're responsible. So I wasn't negligent. I told you to watch this item for me. You left your front door wide open. He said, well, you know, I leave my front door wide open sometimes. That's ridiculous. If you left your front door wide open and somebody came to the house and took it, you didn't do what you promised me you would do. You said at least you would take care of it. He said, well, I'll take care of my own things too. Well, you don't have to take care of your own things, but somebody else's thing, you have responsibility for it. If somebody expected you to take care of somebody's thing, you had to take care of it. The car was stolen. Why was the car stolen? Well, I forgot to lock the doors. That's ridiculous. Why don't you lock the doors? So that's called negligence. And the unpaid watch person is responsible when he or she is negligent. However, if an accident happens, stuff happens, I'm not paid. The person who's paid to watch something, there's a reason that I didn't ask you for a favor. There's a reason that I specifically asked you to do this for me and I was ready to pay for it. Why? Because you need to be responsible. So for example, if I'm going to rent space in one of these storage areas and then somebody breaks in, I'm going to expect that the storage area is going to be responsible for indemnifying me, unless they make me sign a waiver that says, despite the fact that I'm paying money, they're still not responsible. That's why whenever you go to park somewhere and you're paying for the parking, you'll have a big waiver to sign. It's a big waiver, signs all over the place. We're not responsible for theft. We're not responsible for anything that goes wrong to your car. If somebody crashes your car while it's sitting in the park, don't come to us. All we're responsible for is provide you an adequate place to park. That's all we're telling you. Now, if it's a free parking space, if there's a lot that people just park on for free, the owners don't have to put any signs up. Why? Because self-understood. Why? You're parking on my property? You're welcome. Yeah, but something went wrong. I parked your property and somebody came and stole. You're welcome. I'm glad you used my property. I was happy to allow you there for free. If something went wrong, I'm really sorry to hear that. You can't expect me to be responsible. Well, that's a total concept, correct. If somebody pays you to watch something, you need to be responsible. I paid the company, I paid the individual to be responsible, they're responsible. Now, there are certain extenuating circumstances for which they would not be responsible. And there is a pattern in secular law that actually follows Torah law. So now we're talking about the borrower. The borrower, he's benefiting. He benefits a lot. He gets to use this object. And in fact, although he's getting to use the object, he's not paying anything for it. So Rashi says, the Torah wants you to know that this person is Chayv Ba'insin. Now, there's a qualifier here. Ba'olav ein imay. If the owners are not with him, then im ba'olav shel hashoyer, if the owners of the ox, einoy im hashoyel, are not there working alongside the borrower, b'malachti in his work, so then he's going to be responsible to pay if something goes wrong. However, moving into verse 14, im ba'olav imoy, if the owners were there. So I did not only borrow an ox to plow my field, I borrowed the farmer to come along with the ox. I said, do me a favor, could you come over with your ox and help me do a little bit of plowing? I'm having difficulty with the plow, and you know, I have a planting season tomorrow, and my guys are showing up, and they're going to be throwing the seeds in the ground, and if it's no furrows, it's not going to work. So the guy says, sure, he comes over with his ox. So in ba'ol of imay lo yishalem, then I don't pay. Why? Because then I'm not an ordinary borrower. That's called she'ela bibolim. That's the technical terminology. She'ela bibolim means I borrowed, but I borrowed along with the owner. And because I borrowed along with the owner, my responsibility is vastly diminished. In fact, it's barely negligible. Im sachiru, but if I rented this object, I paid for its use, then it comes for money I paid. That's another story. I'm not going to be responsible for everything if I, in fact, was paying for this to begin with. So if I rented your object, there's certain things that the renter is going to be obligated for and certain things the renter is not going to be obligated for. However, when it comes to the borrower, as a rule, is always obligated with one exception, one general exception, and that is if the owner is with them. There is another exception called Mesa Machmas Malacha, which means that the object collapsed or fell apart or the animal died because of the work that was being done, but you didn't do anything extraordinary. So if you rent a car and the car dies, because cars die sometimes, you're not responsible. What was it supposed to do? Like, this car was going to die anyway. It's a lemon. You bought a lemon. You're not going to dump it on me. Yeah, but you borrowed my lemon. Yeah, I borrowed your lemon. Here's your lemon back. The thing is, I would have to prove, in fact, that was the case. If I couldn't prove it, that would be a problem. So this is the basic principle. Let's take a look in Rashi 14. Im ba'ol of imoy, if the owner of the object is with him, so then you don't have to pay. The Torah says le yishalem. That means that not only would the ox come over, the ox's owner came with the ox. So then in that case, bein shehu ba'isim malacha, bein shehu b'malacha cheres. Here Rashi has a very important detail. Whether the owner is actually working with you at the time or the owner stepped out for a few moments. He wasn't there when whatever happened went wrong. Doesn't make a difference. If the owner was there at the time of borrowing, that's called she'ela b'boilim. And that's what Rashi says very, very clearly here. Hoya imay b'sha'as sha'ha she'ela, if the owner was there at the time when the borrowing took place, so then he's exempt from mistakes like this. Obviously, he's going to be negligent, he's responsible. Even the watch person who doesn't get paid is responsible for negligence. Negligence is something that you're always responsible for. You have to behave responsibly. But assuming that you behave responsibly, you would not be held culpable in this case. He doesn't have to be there at the actual moment of the breakage. He doesn't have to be participating at the actual moment when the accident happened, as long as the borrowing was done. Under those ages, that's sufficient. As we go on to say, im sochiru, but if this is a renter, not a borrower, im asher ein eshol, says Rashi, if the ox is not rented, el sochor, the ox is not borrowed, but rather the ox is rented, so then, bo bischaroi, he comes for a price. If he comes to a price, he had a seicher, it came to the hands of this seicher, not for free, wasn't doing him a favor, it came for a price. V'loi b'sheila, not in a manner of borrowing. Then kol hanoah shaloi. By a shoyel, we say there's something called kol hanoah shaloi. The shoyel only benefits. The borrower only benefits. It's like benefits. All I get is benefits. It doesn't work like that. Benefits come with responsibilities. Only benefits? Only millennials get only benefits. Normal people have responsibilities also. So I want to be a borrower. I want to have all the benefits, but I want to be responsible. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. You got benefits, you got responsibilities. More benefits, more responsibilities. You didn't pay for this, you're going to be more responsible. That's the way it's going to go. However, in a situation where I not only was getting benefits, I paid for these benefits, so I'm not getting free benefits, I paid for them. I want to have the benefit of using the object, I paid for it. If I paid for it, I'm not getting any favors. The car rental company didn't do me a favor. I paid for this car. I'm paying for the day. In that case, so then He's not responsible for any kind of accident that might arise. Shaharei al yedei schari nishtamash. You used it because of a rental fee you paid. And therefore, ein lo mishpat shoyel lehischayv ba'insin. He does not have the same ruling of the borrower that he should be obligated when things might accidentally go wrong. The borrower is virtually always responsible. Why? Kol ano'a shaloi. Oh, you get all benefits? In this world, it doesn't go like that. Benefits come responsibilities. But when we talk about the renter paid his way. He didn't get this for free. So he didn't get it for free, he paid his way. He's not going to be that responsible. His responsibility is diminished. Now, Rashi goes on to tell us, v'lepidish madine, we don't know exactly what is his halacha. How do we regard him? In dine k'shem rechinam, do we regard him as an unpaid watch person? Or k'shem resachar? Or is he regarded as a person who was paid to watch a particular item, a garden item? Because the scripture is not explicit, the sages of Israel disputed this. Seicher ketzad mishalim. How does the seicher, the renter, how would the renter pay? What are the extent of the renter's responsibilities? Rabbi Meir, says, kisher mechinam. He has very minimal responsibilities because he paid his way. He's like an unpaid watch person. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer b'shemer sachar. Yehuda says he's like a paid watch person because ultimately he's not so responsible, but at the same time, he's not doing him a favor. The Shemir Chinam is doing him a favor. Hey, I'm guarding the object. I'm getting nothing for it. Here, you're renting, you're paying, but you're also enjoying the use of the object. So it's not as if nobody's doing anybody a favor. It's called business. So in business, there's business responsibilities that naturally comes along, and that cannot be ignored. So this is a story of the borrower. That's the proverbial borrower. And just to give you a little bit of background or deeper explanation, the reason that the borrower is always going to be responsible, save when the owner is there, according to the Ibn Ezra, is because the borrower, who just borrows something, the owner says, how do I know that you weren't abusive to my animal? How do I know you didn't treat my snowblower roughly and gruffly? How do I know? And after all, you have all the benefits. You have all the benefits, therefore I have all the suspicions. And I can expect a higher level of responsibility from you, because with benefits comes responsibilities. As the Ibn Ezra says, when the owner, however, is there, so he says, well, what is your question? You were there. You're saying, well, I don't know how you treat it. No, no, you were right there. You were part of this. So you can't say, I'm suspicious. I'm not sure. Maybe I did. Maybe it didn't work out. Maybe you didn't do as you... Maybe. You were right there. I had you come along. So in that case, the borrower is going to be exempt. I wasn't there that moment. But nonetheless, it still remains that he borrowed him with the owner. Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, speaks in a little bit of a different approach. He says the reason that she'ela b'boilim, that when you borrow something, along with the owner, the reason that in that instance you would be exempt is because when the borrower takes something, he assumes that responsibility. He feels the weight of responsibility. He took somebody's thing for free. He feels the weight. He feels responsible. But when the borrower has the owner with him, he doesn't feel that weight. Why not? Because there's the owner's here. The owner's here. Like, this doesn't make any sense. And if the owner's here, the owner will take care of that. And in truth, the owner doesn't have the same complaint. He can't lodge the same complaint, the same protest, because at the end of the day, he was there. You have to expect that if you're there, people will always assume you will be responsible, not they're going to be responsible. Why should I be responsible for somebody else's thing? Well, I'm using it. Okay, but still, you give me responsibility for no reason. You were there. I expected you to be responsible. How else would that be? The Sephardim says something very interesting. I don't know if I fully understand it. He says something that goes like this. He says, when you borrow something, so there's always like a certain reticence on behalf of the one who's borrowing it. The person who loans the object is a little nervous always. I'm giving you the object and like, hope I get it back. People say like, hope I get it back. Hope you can take good care of my object. Like, people want to give, but there's a reticence. They give slowly. They give with some reservation. And it's almost as if they give, it's like a gift. You're giving the item as a gift, and it's self-understood that you expect to get back whatever you gave. But in a situation where the owner is there as well, So then, what reticence could it be? So I'm plowing this. I'm getting rid of the snow, and you know my neighbor sees me struggling with a shovel, and he says, "You don't have a snowblower." And I'm like, "Yeah, if you want to help me, I'll be great." He says, "Yeah, it's not. That's a big deal. It's 5 minutes." And he comes over with the snowblower, and he's like going down my driveway. He says, "Unbelievable! I'm sitting and breaking my back. It's 2 minutes. You get the whole thing done. Amazing!" And then all of a sudden, somebody calls him and says, "I'll be back in a second." And I keep moving the snowblower, and all of a sudden the snowblower hits something. And so he was involved in the act, so to speak. He didn't come along and say, "Oh, I'm giving you my snowblower, but listen, it's a very expensive machine. You gotta be really careful with it. I expect to get it back 100% intact the way I gave it to you." He came along. If he came along, then you can't have those kind of expectations. And in a certain way, as long as it's in the hand of the person who received it, it's in the person who received it hands, but it never really left the original hands, because he came along. Okay, it was in hand, and therefore the responsibility doesn't transfer in that same sort of fashion. Anyway, these are the various explanations as to why she'ela b'boilim is a halacha. Why, when you loan or borrow something, it will depend. Makes all the difference if the owner was there or not. You got that? She'ela b'boilim. Baalim. Baal is the owner. Baalim are the owners. Okay? So this is Parshas Mishpatim, a lot of technicalities. Technical civil law. However, the beautiful thing is that since this is Torah, it has always a deep spiritual message. So now I'm going to ask you to open the Biurim book. Join me on page Kuf Lamed Zayin. And here, the Rebbe takes this perfect legalese, very legal technical concept about responsibility or lack thereof, and the Rebbe translates it into Avodas Hashem Yisbarach. What can we learn from this in our daily service to Almighty God? How should this inform and guide and instruct our daily schedule? So this is from one of those Rishimis, one of those notes that we only found after the Histalkos Hefti Gimel Tamos, where the Rebbe interprets everything in spiritual terms. Yesh levayr din zeh b'avedas Hashem. We're going to set out here to explain this halacha, this din, in terms of avedas Hashem. Nishmasei shel adam, a person's soul, al kol hakoyches hatmunim bay, with all of the faculties, the ability, and the wherewithal that's encoded into a person's soul. Nitenes lei mehakadosh baruch hu midiyoyim biyoyim, is given to a person. A person is given a soul on loan. And it happens every single day. Every day you get a soul. Every day your life is restored to you. Tell me, what did you pay to get up this morning? What did you pay? How much has life cost you today? What did you have to pay to wake up? The answer is nothing. What did we pay for life? The most valuable thing in the world is life. What did we pay for life? Absolutely. Huh? Wow, you got a whole life for saying five words. That's a pretty good deal. And you feel like a businessman here? You feel like you did your part? Really? Wow. I was going to say your business partners would not be pleased with that approach. The guy will say, "So what are you doing for this business? Like, I know I'm slaving from like 7 a.m. till 9 p.m. I said hi in the morning. That's pretty good. And like, I should get 50% of the profits." So really, we say that God gives us our soul. It's on loan. We don't believe that life belongs to us. That's why from a Torah perspective, ending one's life, Rahman al-Islam, is an act of murder. So what do you mean? It's not an act of murder. Murder is to the Western world is if I take somebody else's life. Somebody take my life? It's my life. I can take my life. Comes along Torah and says, "Oh no, mister. It's not true. It's not your life. It's God's life. And because life belongs to God, we have no right to make decisions of taking life." In the Western world today, it's become appropriate if somebody says, "I want to die. I give permission. Go ahead. Pull the trigger. I'm depressed. Something went wrong in my life. Kill me now." In the Western world, increasingly we're saying, "Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Person owns themselves. Person has a right." That's because we have an atheistic perspective and you don't recognize a creator and we don't bow our head in submission before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So sure, it's all about me. I worship myself. I worship my own mind. I worship my own ideas. I worship my own ideals. And that's the beginning and end of it. But that's not our perspective. Where we look at things, what we were taught, is that the neshama is on loan. And this actually is found in a scriptural verse, Zugezunt, in the beginning of the first chapter of the first book of Shmuel, the expression is, Kim Hashem Sha'altiv. The soul is, for it is loaned from God. And why does God loan us a neshama? Why does God give us another lease on life? Every day we get a new lease, or a new, not a lease, at least a bad term, because lease you pay for. We don't pay for this. Why do we get a new loan on life every morning? What's the purpose? Why is just God just giving loans? Because he's a nice guy. Because God gives you a mission to do. The matara is Shaha'adam Yishtamish Balakium Ritzenish Lakadosh Baruch Hu. God gives you a soul on loan, but the soul is given to you on the condition, for the purpose, that you will use it appropriately. Now, so this means the loan is given with a purpose. Ubisoifishaldavar, in the end, Yashiv Oisa Bishlimusa. How are we supposed to return the soul? Broken? Soiled? Beaten? Bludgeoned? In pieces? No. Return the soul intact. The way you got it, that's how you should return it. In fact, you return it even better. The way you received it. The words of our sages. If only a person's leaving this world would be the way they arrived. How did you arrive in the world? Clean as a whistle. Pure. Every neshama is magnificent and beautiful. That's how you arrived. How should you leave this world?
There's a problem here. So how can it identify you? Who's you? If it's not, the soul is part of you.
You have a problem identifying you?
No. That makes
you don't.
You.
So what are you asking questions?
Not yours, so who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah.
I'm me.
This reminds me of a riddle, Menachem, you know? We could talk about it. We'll talk about it at the Verbrengen tonight, okay? Because I what's wrong? There's going to be a Verbrengen tonight for the Rebbe since Halula. No problem. You come to the Verbrengen, yeah. So, I'm not sure if that really is a problem that bothers most people. Who am I? Most people know exactly who they are. God gave you a soul? Did you pay for it? No. How'd you get it? On loan? That's the point. God, did he give you the soul to say, do as you please? Break it, burn it, smash it. I don't care how you do whatever you want. It's yours. It's yours. Destroy it. No problem. Wrong. The person who loaned you something, what was he expecting?
He expects it back.
It's not a gift, it's a loan. So that's how we should return the item. Now, uchashem sheshoyel tipshutei chayev b'chol nezik, the person who's a borrower, kol ha'anah shaloi, he's got every benefit coming here, coming his way. So along with having every benefit coming your way, what else comes along? Responsibility. You're responsible. And what if something goes wrong? Who's responsible? You're responsible. You're responsible because you're the borrower. Gamba insim, but what's my fault? I couldn't prevent circumstances. Situation was impossible. God, you know it was impossible. Sorry, you're a borrower. Borrowers don't get any leeway.
But not for the first 13 years. Like that.
We just started off saying here that the borrowing happens on a daily basis. Okay? So don't go back to 13 years. You got 13 years of practice. You're supposed to put your pants on by yourself. Now you're a major. If Hashem gives you a neshama, you're an adult. Return it to me tonight when you go to sleep the way you got it for me this morning. How'd you get it for me? Nice and clean, healthy, return the neshama the way you got it. At least don't make it worse.
You're returning it every day?
We do. We say it every night before we go to sleep. Only hopefully we get back in the morning. Mm. Not everybody wakes up in the morning, you know?
True.
So, no guarantees. Oh, one second. Chava said Hashem is with me. One second. She said Hashem. So, first of all, a person's obligated. Whatever comes your way, doesn't make a difference. What? Your fault, not your fault. I don't care. You're a borrower. The borrower, you're responsible. Yes, if a person could start to wonder, say, okay, these terms of this deal are a little bit excessive. I really appreciate God giving me a soul, but I can't handle this. There's no way. Who could say, no problem, I take responsibility. Take responsibility, stuff happened, the world melted down. No problem, it's my responsibility. How could anybody take responsibility for that? Take responsibility for an item. What's the worst thing? You pay for the item, okay. But responsibility for life, for neshama? How could we take responsibility? There's a way out. Hashem always gives us an etzer. What's the etzer? L'shem kach me'etzes ha'ter d'ter comes along and says, it's true that the responsibility is limitless, virtually limitless. But in ba'al av imay, if the owner is with you, lo yishalom. The owner is with me. If the owner is with me, I don't have to pay. Midi b'iker, when a person wakes up in the morning, kishadam shoyel ma'akadosh baruch hu es neshmaso, when you borrow that soul all over again, it's a daily loan. You started the loan all over. Olav lishoyel, how should you borrow it? Yachad im ba'aleho, together with the owner. So you're right, David. How is that? How do you get the owner involved? She bekach she yispal le'lov, when you pray to him, v'yivakesh mimenu, when you request of him and ask, esrochov. So when a yid starts off asking for his needs, he acknowledges that I am not the master of my own destiny. I do not control the situation. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. I'm in your hands, God. And that's then called she'elav ha'boilim. I loaned the soul, but I loaned it along with the owner. Niftar ha'adam michiyuvei shall call nezek obgam. A person then becomes exempted from any kind of things which will go wrong, with the exception of negligence. Negligence you're always responsible for. She'el things that will happen to the neshama during the course of this day, k'divrei Rashi kan, like the words of Rashi, ha'yo imi b'shas she'elah, even if there was a time of mindlessness later on in the day. Even if there's a time when I didn't feel the presence of the owner with me, I didn't feel God with me, but as long as I started the borrowing together with the owner, that's already good enough. That lasts all day. The owner doesn't actually have to be there at the time when something goes wrong. As long as you start off the day right. Make sure you take the loan right. This is the meaning of the words of our sages, which is found at the beginning of Masechet Brachot, that it says, quote, it says that my prayer should be as close as possible to my bed. I wake up in the morning, as soon as possible, I should daven. Davening has to be immediately after waking. Now, it's normal to have a little bit of grooming and come hygienically, not to come stinking. That's normal, take a shower. It's normal to brush your teeth. It's normal to get yourself in order. It's perfectly normal to do a little spiritual grooming and hygiene by learning Torah. So when I actually daven, instead of still thinking about my dreams, I'm actually now fully engaged. My mind is where it's supposed to be because I just spent a half hour learning Torah. So now my davening is not mindless. My davening is mindful. But all of that is to prepare. And that's where we lay lefnei achila, before mealtimes. People sit down, they have a big breakfast. They watch the news, breakfast television, then they have to read the newspaper, then they go to Facebook, and then maybe at 10 o'clock in the morning, think about God. That doesn't work, my friends, because then how did you start your day off? Thinking about me, all about me. Oh, God, right, yeah, I should do a little God too. I think I should remember there's a God in the world also. In that case, it's not she'elav ha'boilim. You took the loan, you're on your own. In order to take the loan, to exempt yourself from all the responsibilities, what a priyad has to do is that mishum shum adam maskel ishtamash b'neshmasi, if you start to use the neshama God gave you, b'kechais of the wherewithal, the power of the neshama, that God put you on loan, lufnei b'kash asrach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before you asked, she'ela. She'ela means borrow, she'ela means ask also. She'ela b'boilim, before you asked or borrowed with the owner, you can't change it later on. If you borrowed the snowblower and 20 minutes into the owner came and said, listen, that's not the way you use my snowblower, that's not called borrowing with the owner. That means I borrowed it. The owner was frustrated with how I was behaving, so he came over and said, idiot, you're going to break my snowblower. Who's responsible for the snowblower? You are. Why? Because you borrowed it. Borrower is always responsible. You got benefits. The fact that God enters your life at a later point in the course of the day, when something goes wrong and you say, oh my God! No, that's not good enough. The she'elo b'boilem has to be in the beginning. Shuv ein zu she'elo b'boilem. Because she'elo b'boilem lehoise yach de'im she'elo san Hashem. It wasn't at the time. And therefore, you are absolutely right. How should you start your day off? Maidani lufanecha. But don't stop there. Don't stop. It's not good enough. After maidani, you got to get yourself right over here. And you learn Torah, and you daven, and you pray your day right. So when a yid does that, so then you're exempt. But otherwise, chalila, then you're alo lehischayev b'chola nezakim. Then you end up chas v'shalom being guilty and responsible for all the things that get caused after this. And I don't know how you could learn this and not come in the morning and daven and learn. Because if you once you learn this, once you know, so to speak, the rules of engagement, you know the name of the game. For heaven's sake, who wants to be in this by themselves? Who can take responsibility? Yeah. And here's such an easy way out. Just she'elu b'boilem. Make sure you start your day off right. Bring a Kaddish Baruch Hu into the mix from the beginning. Start off your borrowing with the owner, and the rest simply goes as it should, as long as you're not negligent. Okay, fine. Don't be negligent.
You have to remember all day, though.
No, that's the point. Even if you weren't mindful at a point later during the day, because if she'elu b'boilem, if the borrowing starts with the owner... Mark, you missed what we said before. You came late. If a borrower starts with the owner,
if the on time,
the owner came with the item, and then the owner left, and something went wrong, he's still exempt. Why? Because the owner was there to begin with. The main thing is the foundation. The main thing is to start the borrowing right.